God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like that Pharisee over there. God, I thank you I'm not like other students, full of themselves, late to chapel, know-it-alls. God, I thank you that I'm not like other parents, public school senders, homeschoolers, let them get away with anything types, bring toys and Cheerios to church, like some I can think of. God, I thank you I'm not like other men. I fast every Sunday. I give tithes of all that I get, not just net. I go to chapel 3 times a day, and I wouldn't be caught dead in a church that uses individual cups. God, I thank you that I went to the right seminary, that I sing all the right hymns and schmooze with the right people, read the right authors and study with the right professors. I commune every week. I love my neighbor. I volunteer at the soup kitchen. I help little old ladies across the street. I think I make a pretty good Christian. God must be pleased with me for all the good things that I do, unlike those people who watch unwholesome television, waste time on social media, and talk behind people's backs. God, I thank you I'm not like that. I see you praying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and I think to myself, you schmuck, I'm glad I don't have to kiss up to God like that. He knows that I don't need to do that stuff because he knows that I believe. But then, when I do hear the word of God spoken to me and I listen instead of assuming, then I'm hit, like with a hammer, whacking me into reality, the reality of my real self, the reality of my sinner self, and I'm in despair. What if I'm not such a good person? What if my prayers aren't sincere? What if I am trusting in myself that I am righteous? I'm pretty sure I treat others with contempt. I was told many years ago in a performance evaluation at the law firm where I worked as a file clerk that I wasn't very good at hiding my feelings toward people that I felt were stupider than me. At the time, I took it as a compliment, proving my employer's point. Obviously, I haven't gotten better at it. I should repent. It wasn't meant as a virtue. Jesus said, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." And although we might think that we're pretty good at humbling ourselves, experience tells me that we're much better at self-exaltation than humbling. The law as a mirror also tells me this. Examine yourselves, St. Paul says. And Luther, consider yourselves in your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? These words from the Catechism should be like a dagger to everyone's ego, a nail to deflate your sense of self-righteousness, the parts of you that think, I'm not that bad, at least not like that guy. And puncturing your self-righteousness is a good thing, for then your hardened heart is softened a bit, your cynical, calloused ears opened to receive the word which God gives, to take down that thin facade of thinking that you've got it all together, or even that you have to have it all together. Because then you'll hear what God actually said, not what Satan tells you God said, not what your flesh wishes God said, not what the world thinks God said, but what the actual word says, the word made flesh. The creating, living word, which speaks you faith and speaks you righteousness and speaks you forgiveness and life. The word whose blood makes you holy right here at this rail, whose blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, crying out for vengeance on the cold, cursed soil outside of Eden, whose blood marks you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified to drown your old Adam and make you alive in Jesus. If ever there was a time in these last days that we needed a reminder about our attitude toward our neighbor and our need for prayer, maybe it's now, during this disastrous and divisive election year, where we are so prone, more than ever, to put the worst construction on everything, to say everything in the least kind way, to insult your brother, to say, "You fool, you moron, you idiot, how can you vote that way?" And the devil is loving it, to be sure. Like Darth Vader encouraging young Luke to embrace the anger, we fail to see that we've crossed over to the dark side. But it's not fiction. It's really happening. And the devil wants this. He says, "Be angry and sin." He says, "Be angry and let that hostility build up towards your brother who thinks he's so smart and pious and holy." But Jesus teaches otherwise. And he says, "Go into the temple in a posture of repentance, not contempt. Pray that way. Because our kingdom is not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly one. And it's already promised to you. God gave it to you as an heir when he made you his own child at the font and covered you with his righteousness. And so he's brought you here even today to pray and to repent, to listen and to sing." We remember this day our three hymn writers, who frankly had it way harder than you, who teach us to receive that which brings you peace with the Father and with your brother, a greater gift than peace with the government could ever be. Pray for our leaders, for sure. Pray that justice be served against our enemies, but also pray for contentment and courage and steadfast faith in the place that your Lord places you, in love toward him and in fervent love toward your neighbor. Here's what Paul Gerhardt said, even in the midst of unimaginable trials: "No anxious thought or worry, no self-tormenting care can win your Father's favor. His heart is moved by prayer. God, I thank you that I am like other men, forgiven and saved and justified by the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.